that we need to understand what a great and glorious God you are. All that we need to know how we ought live for you in a way that honors you, in a way that points others to you. And as we see often in the Scripture, there are these contrasts put before us of the right kind of living and the wrong kind of living. And I pray, Father, that we would be people who are utterly, passionately, given to living for you, for being those who walk in the way of righteousness, being those who depend upon your grace, those who experience your blessing. And so as we just take a look at some very simple, familiar, straightforward truths here this evening, pray that you would use it to encourage us, to challenge us, to help us as by your grace we seek to walk with you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So there is, in this psalm, you know, kind of a cause and effect we talked about last week just briefly. You know, living in the manner described in the psalm, which is essentially what verses 1 and 2 are about. Here's some things that should be true of how you live. Well, that's going to lead them to a life that's described for us in verse 3 as contrasted to what we see for those who don't walk with God in verses 4 and 5, and then you know, that contrast is kind of emphasized at the end. But the fact is, folks, that if we will walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, if we will avoid standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful, if we will find our delight in the law of the Lord, and if we'll meditate in it day and night, listen, we will be deeply rooted in God and in His Word, and we will be the kind of people that God would have us to be. We'll experience that life of blessing, that life of fulfillment and prosperity, spiritually speaking. We'll have challenges. We'll have difficulties. Life won't be easy. But we'll have the spiritual resources to live a life of contentment and joy. Now, just by way of review, last week we said this, that if you want to experience God's blessing in your life, you must be perceptive in your walk, rejecting ungodly advice, refusing sinful activities, resisting scornful attitudes. And that takes discernment. And those are the things we said we need to be avoiding. We need to be keeping away, pushing away. But as we continue tonight, we're going to come to understand that the way that we avoid wrong thinking, the way that we gain discernment for living, is by filling our minds with God's thinking. So, yeah, we need to be circumspect. We need to be careful. We need to be perceptive in our walk. But that's accomplished primarily as we open our hearts and minds more and more to God's Word. So exhortation number 2 is simply this. You must be prepared in the Word. Take a look at verse 2. But His delight, this is speaking about the blessed man, the one who walks with God, who walks the righteous way. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. So verse 2 begins with but, a word of contrast. And it really highlights two contradictory things. Those who pursue the life of the ungodly, and those who embrace God's word and live accordingly. Okay? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. So it says, here's things to avoid, but listen, here's the answer. Here's what's needed. This is the right kind of outlook. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And so David here gives us that contrast that's so common in the Bible's wisdom literature in particular, and especially so in Proverbs. But it's that there's kind of two ways you can go, two paths you can walk, and you need to choose one. You can't kind of go both ways. You can't have it both ways. Now, our fleshly human tendency, I'm afraid, is to try to rationalize double-minded living. Now, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and he'll be given. He won't be upbraided, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. And James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And yet, we sometimes kind of want to have it both ways. We want to enjoy worldly, earthly, fleshly pleasures. We want to just kind of experience life on the world's terms. And at the same time, You know, we want to experience life on God's terms, and we want His blessing, and we want to walk with Him. And it's kind of like a tug of war that's going on sometimes. We do, when they do the Cola Clash out here, they typically do the mud pit tug of war, which is, I suppose, enjoyable to watch. I wouldn't find it so fun to participate in. But, you know, you see, and sometimes those tugs of war will go on for a long time, and it, at some point you can kind of see some of the kids on one side just tiring out and pooping out and giving in. And very, very quickly, things move very, very rapidly in a bad direction for them. And the truth is, when we just kind of allow that thinking that I can kind of enjoy this in the world, and, you know, it's not that, God will understand. You know, it's amazing how quickly that drags you in a direction that is contrary to the things of God. We've got to recognize that the Bible continually, just continually, confronts us with an either-or choice. You know, God's way or the world's way. You know, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Either the God who your father served on the other side of the flood, you know, or either we serve God, we serve the ungodly things. In the Old Testament says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. And the Bible presents this antithesis. And there are large swaths of Christianity that emphasize redeeming the things of the culture. And I follow that there are things that we can take from this culture that are not inherently problematic and use them for gospel means and things like that. I understand that. But we got to never lose sight. You know, the Bible says that, you know, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And there is in the Bible a very clear antithesis and an opposition between the world and God's people and God and the things of God. And we need to make sure that we recognize that you can't kind of have it go both ways. Someone suggests that you can back off on your Christian life a little bit. You know, many of us have heard, you know, you don't need to be quite so extreme. You know, I mean, being Christian is fine, but you don't need to go to church that much. You don't need to do all those things. You don't need to talk to people about their faith, whatever. When someone tries to give you advice like that, well, that's the counsel of the ungodly, encouraging you to stand in the way of sinners. And as you do, you will find that it won't be long and you'll be sitting in the seat of the scornful. Folks, it's the devil's lie that you can serve God while also enjoying the world's enticements. Jesus himself said you can't serve God and mammon. You can't. Those things are mutually exclusive. And James says that whoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And that's the same kind of truth David is getting at. He's highlighting the blessed life as one that involves a choice between one of two ways. There should be no middle ground, and we need to pursue our choice wholeheartedly. Negatively, it's rejecting wrong advice, ungodly advice, unbiblical activities, scornful attitudes. But positively, it comes from a delight in God's Word. Being prepared in the Word means that we need to find delight in it. And you say, well, what does it mean to delight in God's Word? Well, it means just what it sounds like. That word, delight, is used in the Old Testament often of a man delighting in a woman. You can find that in Genesis 34:19, in Esther 2:14. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed this. We do have some relative newlyweds in our midst here. But, you know, when a young man delights in a young lady, he rearranges his priorities so that suddenly he has plenty of time to spend with her or communicate with her. You know? Now, those of us who've been married a long time, we should be doing the same thing. But, I mean, the contrast is there, right? When you see that kind of budding romantic interest, suddenly things just start changing. You know, and that young person makes some adjustments. And he doesn't do it, well, I suppose I should probably spend some time with her. You know, I mean, that would be the right thing to do. You know, things aren't going to go very far if that's the mindset, right? He's going to do so eagerly, gladly, not because he has to, but because he wants to. And he's not going to let things get in the way and interfere with his desire to spend time with the object of his delight. And we can all relate to that example. So let me ask you, do you delight in God's Word in that sense? Do you make time to spend time in the Word? And you know what? You're going to do your best not to let something get in the way of that. You're not going to do it just because you have to or because you should. Though I will say, character is a good thing. And, you know, if you don't feel like it, do it anyway. And we'll talk a little bit later about how that works out. But really, what we ought to be cultivating is a genuine love for God's Word and a valuing of God's Word and a delight in God's Word. And if you feel like time spent in God's Word is a duty, it's an obligation, it's boring, it's something that you do because you have to do, something because you want to be faithful and check something off of a list, then God can help you, but you need help. And we all go through times where we have that to one degree or another, and we need God's help in those times because we need to delight in God's Word. Being prepared in the Word involves being convinced. We need to be convinced of the value of God's Word for our lives. Many of us can quote 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it's God-breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. Everything we need. It teaches us what we need to know. It shows us where we're wrong. It shows us how to make things right. It tells us the path that we ought to be on. And it helps us to become the people of God that God wants us to be. We need to be convinced that God's Word is the answer for that, is the source for that, is what we need. We need to be convinced of the integrity of God's Word, that it doesn't change, that it's true, every word of it, all of it, every bit of it. We need to be convinced of the authority of God's Word, that this is God's instruction for us. And you can think of it this way, is the Bible is God's letter to you. Everything written there is for you. Everything written there is for your good. And it's born out of God's love for you. He gives you commands. They're there to guide us. He gives cautions to protect us. He gives promises to encourage us. The richness of the gospel ought to propel us to thankfulness and a deep and more abiding love for God. And there's just everything that we need is in the Word of God. And it's not just some of that's for me and some of that's for somebody else. No, all of it's for me. All of it is God's message to me. All of it is God's letter to me. And it should be no more of a duty to spend time in God's Word than it would be a duty for a young man to spend time with his fiance. Something is broken in our spiritual connection with God if we are characteristically finding the Word of God to be a duty and not a delight. Now, I understand. We have a flesh, and there's ups and downs. I get that. But if you can't really think of the last time that you found joy in reading God's Word, if, just characteristically service after service, hearing preaching is something that you endure rather than something that you value, then there's serious problems there in your relationship. Because we need to be people who delight and who are convinced that God's Word is an important and an essential part of our lives. Being prepared in the Word involves being committed to spending time in it. It says, in His law doth he meditate day and night. According to one little boy, meditating is when your mouth stays shut and your head keeps talking to itself. Not a bad description, right? Not a bad description. Where you talk to yourself. You turn those things over. Meditation involves thinking about what God's Word says and how it applies in your life, in every aspect of life. It's thinking things through from different angles. Now, I am a naturally and compulsively analytic person. I'm also a night person, as many of you know. And, when we went back to this restroom renovation, You probably would be stunned to know how many hours I stood in the corridor down there with the ceiling tiles peeled away, looking and thinking about, what if we did this? We could put this here. This is how this could work. Just thinking about something over and over, every different way. What about this? What about this? But that's really what meditation is like. I've often said that meditation is worrying just with the right subject, right? I mean, we're in this turning over and thinking through all the what-ifs and these negative things. Well, meditating on God's Word is thinking about all the good things, all the exciting things. What does that mean for me? What is God promising here? What is God telling me to do here? What is God cautioning me against here? And thinking that through and thinking about how it applies in my life. That's what meditation is. And the point isn't that I start the clock and for the next 24 hours I only ever think about, no, that when it says in His law does He meditate day and night, but that was just throughout the day. It's not just during your devotion time. You know, but it's throughout the day. You're thinking about, you know what, God says this. I wonder what does that mean here? And things come along in life. And you go back to Deuteronomy 6 and it talks about that we are to be teaching our children about the Word of God when we sit down, when we rise up. You know, just over the course of the day. And likewise, we're to be thinking on God's Word. In different ways, different things. That's why it's important that we hide God's Word in our heart. Because you may not always have your Bible, or in this day and age, your phone, in front of you. Some of you do have your phone in front of you all the time, okay? But, you know, the point is, this is where we need God's Word, too. Now, I don't think a person has ever memorized the whole thing from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation 22. I suppose it's possible in theory, but, you know, so we always need the Word to go to the book. But as much as we can hide God's Word in our heart, then it's there to aid us in meditation. It's there for the Spirit of God to bring to mind when we encounter certain circumstances and think it through and say, you know, God, what do you want me to do here? How do I respond in this situation? Lord, would you help me? I know what I should do. I need encouragement because I'm struggling here. But we are to be committed to spending time in God's Word, not only sitting down and having a devotional time, as we often call it, but just in general. You know, living our lives where we're just never far from God's Word. We're thinking about it frequently. We're thinking about it over the course of the day. We're pondering it. We're wondering about how do I apply this. Someone has said that meditation is to reading what digestion is to eating. Right? Chewing on it, letting it become part of you, nourishing and strengthening you. Psalm 119:97 says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Some of you were here when Brother Schrock had us say that verse during some meetings that were here. Right? And he would say, it is my meditation all the day, right? And he has his way of emphasizing things. But, you know, that's the point. It's not just our meditation during this 30-minute period of time, this 10-minute period of time, this 5-minute period of time, this 2-hour period of time. It is something that is with me, that I'm considering, that I'm pondering, that I'm thinking about all throughout the day. Any of my waking hours, things come along, and I'm thinking about, what does God say about this? It isn't read your chapter and go your way, but read, remember, and reflect. Digest that truth and allow it to affect you. Okay? If you look at verses 1 and 2 again, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And that all goes together. A person who doesn't delight in God's Word and consider how it affects his life won't recognize ungodly counsel because he won't know what the Word of God says to refute ungodly counsel. He'll lack the discernment to avoid the wrong activities and attitudes. Folks, we can't just read God's Word to check a box. We need to take it in and ingest it in our souls. Let me just share some verses. And the Bible's so full of words that passages that talk about just delighting and enjoying God's Word. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Same kind of expression. "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And there you see a progression. We spend time in God's Word, and we're thinking about it all the time. And that is what directs our way. That is what helps us with choices that we make. That's what makes our way prosperous and spiritually successful. Psalm 119, well, all of Psalm 119, right, is talking about the value of the Word of God and different things about the commandments, the precepts, the law of God, all those different things. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. Psalmist says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, or an old man, or a lady, or a kid? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." If we are seeking God, that means we're also seeking his word. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You'll only avoid the ungodly thinking of the world you'll only escape its self-oriented pleasures as you pursue greater pleasure in the Word itself. Our walk with the Lord means we're fixing our eyes on Jesus. Right? We're looking full in His wonderful face. And that's when the things of this earth grow strangely dim. Right? As we spend time in God's Word, as we allow that to saturate our souls, as we meet with Jesus in His Word, and that's where the victory comes. You know, we can say all day long, verse 1, you know, avoid the counsel of the ungodly. Don't do sinful worldly things. Don't get caught up in the scorner. But if you just stop right there, you know what? That's exactly where you're going to end up. Because that resource that pushes those things out, that clarifies, that gives the discernment, comes from delighting in the Word of God, internalizing it through meditation, through memorization, through thinking about it, through then and then living it out. And as you live it out, then you come to embrace it all the more. It just continues on there. The blessed person delights. He finds pleasure in God's Word. He loves to hear God speak. Here's a couple more passages from Psalm 119. Verse 35, make me go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Verses 47 and 48, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I'll try to do them. Use my hands to obey. And I will meditate in thy statutes. So there's this idea of delighting in God's Word, meditating in God's Word, and doing God's Word. And it all goes together. In Psalm 19, David says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. The blessed person delights in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. And to him it's sweet. To her it's sweet. It's the thought-shaping activity of meditation that really just keeps drawing us closer and closer to the Lord. And sometimes we'll quote that passage in Colossians, set your affection on things above. The expression, set your affection, translates a Greek verb that refers to set your thinking. Set your mind on. Focus your thinking. Here's what the prophet Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Dear person, if you call yourself a Christian, if you have been called as one who is part of God's family, if you have been saved, you know, then it's only natural that we should want to just take in God's Word and enjoy it and embrace it. We need to get past simple obligation. As I said, there's times when we understand that out of good character, we do things we know we should do, even when our emotions are struggling. But characteristically, we should, in increasing measure, be finding delight in God's Word, finding joy in the Lord. Now you say, Pastor, I want to delight in God's Word, but I just don't feel it. You know, what do I do? And I'll say a couple things here. One is that proper emotions are cultivated by consistent, purposeful actions. So this is where, you know, our goal is to move from duty to delight. And so sometimes if you're struggling with that feeling of duty, well, don't give up. And if you will be consistent about it, if you'll be continually doing it, if you will go through those steps of intentionally and purposefully, you know, spending time in God's Word, it will not return void. It will affect you. It will influence you. But the other piece of that is we desperately need God's help. Confess your cold heart to God. You know, one thing that I think most of us who have been saved for any length of time have learned, and that is that our God is a God who overflows with grace to anyone who will come to Him humbly, acknowledging our need, asking Him for the help that we need. God will in no wise cast us out. And if you say, Lord, I want to delight in your word, but I just don't find it very delighting. Well, well, there's really kind of two aspects. One is keep going to God's Word and be honest with God and say, I'm struggling here. God, I desperately need your help. And ask the Spirit of God to enliven His Word, to quicken His Word in your soul, to allow it to stir you as you desire. And I promise you, folks, if you'll be faithful about it and if you'll ask God for help, He'll do it. Here's a prayer that was recorded by A.W. Tozer. Oh God, I have tasted thy goodness, and it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I am painfully conscious of my need of further grace. I am ashamed of my lack of desire. Oh God, I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made thirstier still. Give me grace to rise up and follow thee. And God can revive the spiritually despondent, and God can heal the spiritually sick. But don't go at it half-heartedly. Spurgeon said that the half-committed Christian is the most miserable person on earth. He's just enough in the world to be miserable in the presence of God, and he's just enough in God to be miserable in the world. Yeah. There's so much joy to be found and experienced in God. You know, the scripture says that in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, there is intense joy that God will sustain in our souls, but only if that's really what we are wanting to pursue. And it starts with the Word. So folks, go all in on the Word of God. Embrace it. And as you spend time, and not just your time reading, but meditating, thinking about, and then Lord, help me now to obey. You know, you showed me this, and I see this need in my life. Lord, help me to put this into practice. And those things go together. Time spent in God's Word, asking the Spirit of God to help you, and then doing what God says in His Word, and living it out. And as you take those actions, as you yield your spirit to those things, God will change your desires. You know, so often people say, well, when God gives me the desire, I'll do it. And that is not the way God works. God works, you do it, and I'll give you the desire. You know, I'll get you to that point that Tozer talked about where I have a desire, but I realize I need more desire. My desire is pitifully weak. But you know what, Lord? I'm going to take the next step. And I'm going to ask your Spirit to help. And to change me, and to stir that thirst for the things of God. And let's make God's Word our meditation all the day. Your emotions, the delight will follow sound choices and godly actions. So we need to be perceptive in our walk and prepared in God's Word, and that means we delight in it, we value it, we're committed to embracing the value of time spent in it, and that will transform your life. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But their delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, folks, let's meditate day and night. Might that be more and more, day by day, increasingly a description of us and how we live and walk with God. Father, we're thankful for your Word. We're thankful that you have given us all that we need. We're thankful, Father, that you, through your Spirit, can stir us to a greater degree of desire and thirst. Might we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Might we just have a delight in your Word, the kind of delight that's described in the Scripture. And we understand we can't manufacture that. We can't work it up. But as we do, just take in your Word, settle it in our soul. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Ask your Spirit for help. You will bring about amazing change far beyond what we might imagine as we allow your Word to transform us, to renew us. Ask for your blessing now as we spend a little bit of time in prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, if you need a prayer bulletin, if you'd lift your hand.